Good morning, I'm David Ellis, and I welcome you to this, the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Going until 2 o'clock today, Dennis Johnson is with me as the technical operator and producer. I encourage you to participate in this program. I suspect that at a time like this, you need little encouragement anyhow. The extent to which I have heard the people who are supportive of their respective political parties seeking to use this program as a means of trying to influence the voters and as much as possible trying to negate the views of both callers and moderators at times, suggests to me that we are indeed in silly season and that Starcom Network and in particular Down to Brass Tacks may well turn out to be either a great beneficiary or a casualty of silly season 2018. Remember this though, we've been around here in the last 5 years helping you to identify what you saw as the main issues that needed to the country's attention. And at this stage of the game, quite frankly, we are hearing a lot of the stuff that has been repeated time and time and time again. And part of the reason why it is being repeated yet again is because, to a large extent, Barbados has a sense of inertia. That's our reality. You hear people from government, you hear people from opposition, you hear people from the private sector talk about it. They call it implementation deficit. And the question is, you know, what are we going to do about it? But one man is doing something about something, and this is this lawyer Chester Soo, who has taken it upon himself to challenge one of the main banks here on this question of a $5 maintenance fee. And he said that when he signed up to do business with the bank, there was nothing in the contract that said that there would be a maintenance fee. Of course, the bank is challenging that, arguing that it is within its rights so to do. And you know full well that today the fee may be $5, but if they have that right to do as they see fit, they could take that fee to $25, $30, $50, wherever they want to take it. One reality that we face in this country is that many people feel as though the banks can do whatever they like with it in Barbados today. We don't have anybody really who stands up for us and speaks out on our behalf and says thus far, no further. They can do just what they feel like. And many people are offended by it. But it seems as though we can do little or nothing. Is it really as bad as that? Or is it that as a people we just believe that we don't have to make the effort and just lie down and play dead, go in a corner and grumble? And when we start to talk about the matters that are of importance in this country, I must confess that I hear some people at various levels in this country taking on the wrong issues, taking on the wrong people, expending a whole set of energy attacking individuals and being personal. Towards what end? Because we're missing the real issues that matter in the development of our people. Where is the economy of Barbados today? Where is it going? How has it gotten to this point? Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? How have we behaved as a people when it comes to sacrifice? Because some people say we haven't really sacrificed anything. But others feel a great sense of sacrifice. How have we struggled through the difficult times? to give the impression that we can still hold our heads above water, and that we can still go fetting and eating and drinking and doing all those things, and give the impression that all is well with us. How have we been able to do this? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Share your views with us. But you know, in all of this, today I'm trying my very best to avoid the naked partisan politics of the BLP and the DLP callers. And I can tell you something. I've been around long enough to have a broad back, and I am prepared to take you on if you believe that we are going to sit down here today and let you come with your naked partisanship. Barbados deserves more than that right now. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Okay, so we are in an environment where we have just had the report of the Central Bank of Barbados, the governor of the Central Bank. And I must tell you that one of the more positive elements of what I'm hearing is that there seems to be a high degree of respect and admiration for the way that the Central Bank is reporting on the Barbados economy in all the circumstances. And I think Cleverston Haynes needs to be commended for bringing that kind of respectability to the report which has been given by the Central Bank, because I hear quite a number of people speak positively about that. But as you well know, the bigger concern has to do with the performance of the economy, and I certainly look forward to hearing the diverging points of view that there may be on this particular issue here today. Call us at 43-417-90. That's the number for you to call. I seem to be having a little bit of a challenge here with the telephone too, so I do apologize for that as you try to get through to us. The political meetings have started. Some people have been having their spot meetings, and the big project this week, big interest, would certainly be the launching of the campaigns of the two established parties in Barbados. That is the Barbados Labour Party on Saturday, I believe, and the Democratic Labour Party on Sunday. We wait to hear exactly what tone is going to be struck in these respective campaigns, because it is true to say that right now many people are left without a sense of real understanding of exactly what the political parties are proposing to do about some of the critical issues. Issue number one, to me, the urgent one, has got to be this issue of fixing the sewage crisis on the South Coast. Both political parties and Solutions Barbados and others involved as well needed to tell us what is the immediate fix. Now, some time ago, we had the Barbados Labour Party saying that they would close down the South Coast, fix the problem. The Democratic Labour Party's response was that that was ridiculous. But the truth is that what they have sought to do in trying to fix it hasn't worked. And what is their radical plan for fixing this particular problem that we are facing? Yes, I know the economy is top of mind as well, but to me, this one is urgent. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Hi, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty good. I realize you're having some problems with the phone.
It seems so that way.
I took the opportunity because there were a few things that disturbed me, and this is my third call for the week. I normally try not to go on this line too often. I think more Barbadians should take up some of the slack that you have. However, what I want to do is to congratulate Mr. Haynes. And I believe the reason that he can come out and be so frank, and he was, I always noticed that tendency to be frank and without any type of prejudice or bias. And the reason he could do it at this stage is that normally, at some earlier stage, he would have been fired. But I don't think you can fire the governor's central bank if it's just a few days more before election.
Fired for what, though?
Well, what I'm saying is that...
Fired for giving you the facts as they are?
Yes, possibly.
Well, is that the known practice here in Barbados?
Well,
that people are fired for doing that?
It's debatable because we're not too sure what happened in the last instance, although it appeared.
I think the situation was markedly different.
I just put that on the table. I don't want to really go delve into that. I'm just made as an aside, not that I'm pushing that. You understand what I'm saying? That if he even had done something that the admin, the creature, and he'd done something that they did not like, that they could have fired him. But this time, even if that was considered, it couldn't be done.
Well, I'm not even anticipating that it was considered. I don't see any reason why we should speculate along those lines, though.
Okay, let's move off that, because that was an aside. I didn't mean to say that it would have happened or it wouldn't happen. I just said if there was any possibility of it happening. But what I wanted to look at, what is the situation with the Hilden? Because they haven't really got a clear picture. What I heard yesterday, that another ministry spoke about it, and that ministry said the other ministry is really their responsibility. Then I heard it was not so, but it was agreed to. So I don't know. And how would you interpret all of this? Because I'm a little puzzled. I'm one of those great fans of the Hilton being something, an icon of Barbados. So therefore, I have that interest in it. I don't know what you think of this whole thing.
A bit of confusion, because if you look at today's Nation newspaper, it says that back in 2017, the Minister of Finance announced plans to sell the Hilton Hotel for $100 million. Then there were stories suggesting that the Hilton was being sold below market value. He has come and said, oh no, it is not being sold below market value. It is at the current or the latest valuation that we've had. So there was an NIS paper that had suggested that the book value was in the vicinity of 253 million Barbados dollars. So we wait to see where this goes. I mean, they have already determined who, it appears as though they've determined who they're selling it to, but I would have thought that the time to try to address some of these concerns would have been a little bit earlier. Anyhow, the timing is up to an individual. That's a subjective thing. But as it stands right now, it is a bit up in the air for many of us. We wait to see where it goes.
Well, that is precisely. We always have to be waiting and don't know what's going on. It might be good if we knew a little bit more.
Well, you know full well that a lot of that depends, though, upon the state of negotiations. If you are negotiating with a group of people or with somebody, you may not be able to come forward and tell the public as much as they want to know, because it could derail aspects of the discussion, you know?
No, I don't know that. I just think sometimes that here in this country, too much is kept away from the people, and that is why you get all these hiccups, because if you were a little bit more forthcoming with what you have, then there would not be so much public objection. I think a lot of these problems start because the public doesn't really get as much as they can get from a particular sale or operation. Then we ask ourselves, who are the people who are involved in these things? Is it the same type of people? We just don't know. And I feel that at some point, you know, that should be reversed. I would hope that in future going forward when things of that importance come about.
Now you should know, well, at least, who are the parties involved.
Yes.
Because sometimes what happens is that you get a name that is foreign, but they got some local people involved who are hiding behind the scenes.
Exactly.
All right. And sometimes you then understand why the game is being played out locally the way that it is, because they are trying to stay behind the scenes to influence what is going on and ultimately manipulate things to their particular end. So I appreciate what you say in that regard.
And then, too, we have these, what lack of a better word, international predators. The country may be in trouble, and they just look around, not only our country, but other countries, and put them in further trouble because, you know, they know that you're on your knees and they can take advantage of you. Those are the things that, you know, are bothersome. And then in the long run, when we have to pay for all the services, it is the people in those countries who are already hard-pressed who then have to pay for these things. And you see the others flying here, the big jets, they don't pay a cent for anything. Anyhow, Mr. it's a very pleasure talking to you this morning, but I just thought I should...
Same here.
Have you back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This person says that before the banks had to safeguard themselves from being robbed by bank robbers, now the depositors have to guard against the banks robbing them. To what extent do you agree with that? This is down to brass tacks.
Take it out. Take it.
Hello? You're on the air? You're on the air.
Morning, Mr. Alex.
Hi.
I'm a first-time caller to your program.
Yes, a pleasure having you.
You and your staff inside here. Mr. Alex, the Caribbean Development Bank went to the government headquarters to get Mr. Chris Sinclair to help them. Mr. Sinclair
help them how?
With a loan, sir.
Hold on, before you go any further.
Mm-hmm.
Clarify for me how Mr. Sinclair could be helping the Caribbean Development Bank.
I say the Caribbean Development Bank.
Went to
him. They went to help Mr. Sinclair.
They went to help him, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. The Caribbean Development Bank is set up for that reason.
Of course.
Right. Mr. Sinclair refused the loan, Mr. Ellis.
Which loan was this?
A loan to help the economy.
Which one? I do not know of what you speak. I am not aware that the Barbados government refused a loan from the Caribbean Development Bank. And I don't know everything. So
okay.
Enlighten me.
Ms. Ellis, I work at Caribbean Development Bank for 38 years.
In what capacity?
I don't want to see it.
You were an officer of the bank, or you were just a worker? Because let me put it this way. I mean, if you worked in the background in some way, you could also say, well, I worked at the Caribbean Development Bank, as distinct from if you were an economist or something like that. Anyhow, which you're working at the bank is only important to me.
Mm-hmm.
In your being able to tell me exactly which mm-hmm. loan the government of Barbados refused. I just want the facts.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, please.
Cut me for a while and I will give you information.
To do what? Do what for for a while?
Cut me for a while and I will give you the information.
Off the air?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, fair enough. And therefore, in those circumstances, you know, it would be difficult to continue on this particular trend. I mean, if you can't give me the information publicly, I would have thought that if the government of Barbados refused the loan,
mm-hmm.
then we would all know what that loan was supposed to be for. If you tell me
mm-hmm.
that the government of Barbados has been able to secure a lot of funding through the Caribbean Development Bank, but has been unable to draw down on it, and that's a negative, then I would understand that, but I don't know what you're talking about.
To help the economy.
Well, listen, you can't go no further because you can go talk to me off the air. I tell you guys, look,
yeah.
Wouldn't think that this silly season allows you all to come and say things that you shouldn't be. You got to back it up. As far as I am concerned, I don't care who you're talking about. You okay. have to back it up.
Okay. Okay. I will see you in the market tomorrow and I'll talk to you.
Oh, you know you're going to the market tomorrow.
I back up on you in the market every Saturday.
But you don't go every Saturday?
But most of the time that I back you, Mr. Ellis.
But you ain't got no guarantee of coming to the market tomorrow?
Oh, okay then, Mr. Ellis. Whenever I see you, then I will talk to you.
Please do. Okay. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program. You are on the air. This person says that prior to the start of the election campaign, the Prime Minister promised to explain the Leader of the Opposition as a citizen and voter. The writer says, I am not interested in hearing the Prime Minister explain any of the leaders of the opposing political parties. I am very interested in hearing him explain how the country got into this economic mess and how they propose to get us out of it. Thank you, says that particular writer. Hello, you're on the air?
Yes, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, well.
Yeah, that gentleman just talked about the government getting rejected by offering, approaching the bank.
Yeah.
If he was in any cheap position in the bank, he couldn't be able to say that because he'd be on a sworn secrecy. So you can't do that to a client.
But when you tell me you work with the bank, he could easily have been a janitor there, a
gardener
there, you know. I just want to know what it is. I mean,
yeah,
we don't even have to waste time with that. He couldn't go any further.
Yeah, because that's a waste of time. Because if he was any senior person in the bank, he can't come.
No,
and
he didn't say. He didn't say he was a senior person.
But no, that was it.
But he doesn't have to be a senior. In all fairness, you don't have to be a senior person to be privy to certain information.
That is what I'm saying. But indeed,
there are many people who get information because they clean the garbage and take it out, and that's where they see a lot of stuff. So
okay, sir. That's all I want to say. Because people called in and gave him a lot of misguided information. If he was
but
ready,
we've sorted that out already. We're not here to encourage that. And you have my pledge. You got a couple of pledges from me. One is that I'm not going to encourage that kind of approach where people just come and say whatever they want to say and then don't support it. And a very important pledge you have from me is this. Anytime you hear things on this program that lack balance, that is not me. I ain't supporting it. And there are a couple of things that you may notice already that I am not encouraging. If you see or hear anything around here that smacks of a lack of balance, just let me know, because I can't hear everything. But the people who work with us know full well what is expected of us, especially at this time. And I have one more thing to say, and it is this. There is nobody who is going to bully me or intimidate me into doing the unprofessional thing. Those people who want to run brass tacks from their various quarters, if they believe that I will be intimidated by that, those people have another thing coming. I've been around long. As Chalk does say, I've been in town too long. And working in River Road, I have literally been in town long. Therefore, I know the days of politicians of strength, character, and worth. And the days when some of my esteemed colleagues in the media had to put up with people going on platforms and cursing them. And that as a journalist and a media practitioner, you have to have a broad back. You have to see yourself as being in public life, and you have to be truthfully confident, sometimes to the point where they say you're arrogant, and you're not going to listen to that kind of talk. So don't believe that we are going to buckle to that kind of approach. What you need to be dealing with right now are the issues and what you want to hear from political parties, what you have heard that you believe can work, what cannot work in your judgment. Those things that you need a bit more explanation of as well. This is the way to help take the country forward in this period. But trying to bully people into doing your bidding, it will work for some, but some of us, we are not going to go in that direction. You have to be guided by what is expected of you professionally. When you go to a doctor, you expect that. When you go to a lawyer, you expect it. And when you come to the media, you should also expect it. This is down to brass tacks. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
This is David Ellis.
Well, if you have a view that it is not David Ellis, who do you really want to talk to then?
Well, I'm so glad to hear no way, because for you on Sanders, you have now become a market vendor. So I
well, you know,
really for you on Sanders,
I would say this to you. If you would spend a little bit more time in the kitchen and less on brass tacks, you would be in the market with me too.
I can handle myself in the kitchen any day.
But yeah, but you are allowing other people are buying your food, clearly.
Someday I'm going to bring across this for you and you will be able to sample.
Please, Pyrex? Is it going to be a Pyrex dish? Yes, sir. How can I help you today?
I'm glad that you mentioned about you trying to curtail the callers for pushing the party's agenda. And I do really appreciate that. But I do also hope that you would caution Glenn Murray from pushing the Democratic Labour Party.
I mean, I have given you my general position. I just told you, irrespective of which side people come from, this is what we expect. The times that we have people here, especially if you recognize that people may appear to have a strong view one way or the other, the best way of dealing with that is to have balance, to have, you know, bring people of diverging perspective. You know, it's not useful to us, as a station, to follow any one side blindly. Because I'll tell you why. You're part of media, and the thing that drives media is that divergence of view. So the day that you sit down and say, well, we are only going to pick a side and stay with that side in this environment. I mean, there are other people who do that, like Fox and Friends and them people. So you got a big audience and they have different dynamics. For us, we recognize that it is important for us to maintain a sense of independence in the eyes of the public. And what we do is seen and heard by everybody every day. So you are in a position to assess for yourself whether or not we are taking up somebody's side or not, you know? So don't let us not talk about call names. I don't want you talking about Mr. Murray or anybody else for that matter. Let me deal with this in a very general way and let you know this is where we stand.
That's why I wanted to keep a hawk straight on everybody, and I hope they will.
By keeping my eye on you too, you know.
Exactly, I know. You always, you never take it. I was surprised to know that your eyes were off of me. So I hope they will all be as neutral as Dennis Johnson.
Right.
Now, David, you know, I hate to know that I had to swallow my pride again to mention that to you because I had phone level to call you again. But the point I really want to ask you is something I want you to explain to me because I'm sort of baffled.
Yeah.
Because in my years of following politics in this country, I'm hearing or seeing something that I don't ever think. That's why I want you to help me ever see occur in this country. Now, with the Hilton Hotel. Now, I heard Mr. Sinclair mention something about the sale of the Hilton Hotel, and he said that it was approved by the cabinet. So I want to know if now Parliament has been prorogued, if they still have government ministers who could continue with the sale of the Hilton Hotel.
But come on, you have to make a distinction between Parliament's role and Cabinet's role. Mm-hmm. The two of them are not one and the same. The Cabinet is the executive arm, what we call loosely the government of Barbados or the administration of the country. Mm-hmm. Parliament is there for passing laws.
I know.
So You can sell property in certain circumstances, and you can take it to Parliament after. You can get the parliamentary approval after. But the government, the cabinet, has the authority to do certain things. All right?
Why you ask the question? Because I never knew the cabinet could still be effective or in control.
Yes. I mean, that matter was discussed quite a bit when the Prime Minister said that we were, well, essentially when we went into the 90-day period. And it was pointed out that ministers continue to hold their positions and continue to draw their salaries. Indeed, if you listen to what's being said, somebody pointed out that because the elections are taking place on the 24th, that these ministers would have drawn salaries right down to the end of May. All right? So that has been discussed quite a lot.
Right, because I thought it was only Prime Minister then and the Attorney General who was still being...
No, the cabinet. And that's why when you look around, you will see Dr. Estabaya Suku, who is still being referred to as the minister responsible for labor.
Right, now what was...
The Minister of Finance spoke yesterday in his capacity as Minister of Finance. So it means that they are still seen as members of the cabinet until elections are held and we have... an outcome that would suggest that some people will lose and some people would win, and then you see, depending upon the makeup, who will form the new cabinet.
Oh, so which may want to know become obvious because the government went into this 90-day period, because I never experienced or heard about it before.
Yes, it happened before, but as you say, it became obvious to you because we went into the 90-day period.
Right, correct.
Or the 74-day period or whatever it is that we really eventually ended up with.
But I won't be spending more time, because I know lots of people again this morning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you too. Down to Brastats. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning, David.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And I'm glad to hear your voice. You obviously made a good contribution to our island. Thanks for that very much on your behalf. Anyhow, the political parties, I'm not naming none, always look for people that have not faced the polls and put in positions. And sometimes when the supporters have to go to those same people, they treat the people badly. And when they treat the people badly, next election, the people do not go and vote for them no more. So all the bitterness, half of them put whole positions in parties got to know that never faced electorate yet, never asked a person for vote. And the man, somebody win the government and put them in post, they have to learn to treat people good. That way, business got to be so. And East Coast had the biggest crowd.
All right. We understand where you're going. But let me ask you something. What do you mean by good treatment? Because, you know, the expectation of being treated well hinges to a large extent on whether you are reasonable or unreasonable in the requests and the demands that you make. You all know that quite well. And in many instances, there are people in this country who turn up and expect the unreasonable to occur. So I hear you, but sometimes we are asking too much of people who are put in responsible positions in Barbados. And they are penalized. Parties are penalized heavily sometimes, because you have to really ask the question, to what extent is Barbados a changed country? And to what extent are we prepared to settle for less than the best? I find that in many respects, that is at the core. The person who tends to get the popular support all too often is the person who tells you what you really want to hear rather than what you ought to hear. So, you know, you obviously had you wanted to say a little bit more that was more along the campaign trail. And as I told you, we're not really encouraging that, and you know it quite well. So as a result, you've left early. Down to Brastats. Let's take another call. Hello? And there's a way to discuss Barbados' politics and stuff without necessarily being partisan, you know. There's a way to do it. Hello? 434-1790. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Blessed be my brother. How are you?
I'm well. We really should welcome back Dennis Johnson, who's here with us as well. He's been off for quite a while, and he was on holiday. Of course, in the interim, they were saying all sorts of things about why he wasn't here. Yes.
I am delighted to welcome his return. And the time that he's coming back is very apropos, too.
Yes.
I know you will emphatically agree with
Definitely.
That.
Definitely.
The reason why I'm calling is to commend a letter I saw in the press this week by Latoya Walden. Albeit it came in the wake of my own comment on the matter of how CBC was being used as a propaganda arm for the government.
Yes.
And I respect the kind of letters that Olu writes to the press. And it really underlines the fact that we do have some measure of freedom and of expression in Barbados, especially when you consider that worldwide. And I'm surprised that somebody hasn't brought this to the program already. And when you consider, as we speak, that there's a lot of attack worldwide and a lot of pressure on journalists and on journalism, period. And we are very fortunate in Barbados that we don't have a political system whereby journalists are attacked and in some cases imprisoned.
You mean attack physically? But I must tell you that it is not really true to say that you're not being attacked. There are people who believe that journalists are fair game. And as I said earlier, the whole idea is to bully you into doing what they want you to do. So the way to deal with that is to try to embarrass you as best as they can, because you must be afraid of them. You must know, once they put some licks in you somewhere, you must run home and go in the shower and cry real bad, and don't come back out. Hide from the public. And when next they see you or hear you in the media, you must be a shadow of yourself, you know, afraid. That's what they want.
I don't think they will dare threaten you with that kind of intimidation, though.
No, listen, all journalists are vulnerable. All.
But I've heard it said in debate on the street. We'll be like to call the ghetto and the block. We think that serious debate don't happen, but serious and intense debate happens in that environment. And you are very often cited as the only real investigative journalist in Barbados. No,
I hear people that, but I don't know about being investigative. I know that there's a natural flow from everything that is said and done. But whatever it is, one thing I can tell you, it does not make sense wasting time with that kind of approach, because we have to be true to our calling, which is, if you call here and you say, look, I have this particular view, then the other person needs to be given the opportunity. Now, last week, there are two regular callers to this program who, towards the end of it, spent a fair amount of time trying to tell one of the moderators how biased Rastax was towards the Barbados Labour Party in the latter stages of that administration. There was one particular guy whose voice I have not heard until this period, who said that he started to call this program because he was not hearing enough of the voice of the Democratic Labour Party. He was not around in 2008 and could not speak with any authority about what obtained back then. Dennis Johnson and I could tell you, because such was the criticism that people like Winnie for a long time has been attacking us.
Correct.
On the grounds that we hounded the Barbados Labour Party out of office. We didn't, you know. You know what you have to look at? And it is this. When you start to hear too much criticism of an administration in Barbados on this program, there is the possibility, yes, that moderators and callers could make up in their minds that they want so-called regime change. That is one possibility. But what about the possibility that we are forced to mirror what is happening in this society and the opinion that is coming to us? Remember this. We will not be popular if we do not reflect the popular will.
But I don't think you are supposed to win friends, but I certainly think that by your job, you are supposed to influence people.
No, by our job, we are supposed to reflect the society in which we live. That is our number one responsibility. It is not to go there influencing anybody, because I have no guarantee that anything that I say here will influence you or anybody else. And I would be a fool if I came here believing that I should be influencing you. So if I want to influence you when it comes to May 24th and you don't vote the way that I want you to vote, what happens to me? I come in here deflated? That's not my job. My job is to reflect to the society what is going on. And people who are in positions of responsibility need to get the opportunity to hear what average people are saying, the people that they are supposed to serve, and come and talk to those people, not take the posture that says, oh, because I don't like a particular person in the station or whatever, I am not talking to the people. They misunderstand what their role is, especially if they are being paid by the taxpayers of Barbados.
But there's no gainsaying the fact, Mr. Ellis, that both you and Mr. Johnson have done a lot to educate Barbadians politically, so people don't just go along.
But that's why you say I don't know?
No, that's why, but because I hear debate on the ground, right? But especially in Mr. Johnson's position, because of his own personal episodes in Grenada, I have immense respect for his opinion and the perspective that he can bring to bear on parallel issues in Barbados. And you say that you don't influence, but I didn't say that.
I said to you that is not my intention. I may influence people, but that is not my desire.
But it is because of your approach and your analysis and the scrutiny that you have brought to certain subject matters in the Barbadian political context that has persuaded me that we do need a Freedom of Information Bill going before Parliament. And we do need a forensic examination of quite a few of the goings on in the ministries. And I would like you to bring to, I don't know if he can do it because of the nature of his job, but the accountant general, his job must be one of the hardest jobs in Barbados. And I wonder if there's anywhere that we can bring his view and his opinions and his concerns to the media without being a threat to his job, because I know that he's a public servant.
Who is that?
The accountant general.
Well, he speaks to matters that have to go to Parliament, and when he speaks, most of the time, he will do so in a report, which is then put before the relevant body asking for that report, or to whom he's supposed to submit it.
I recognize that at this kind of period, a lot of people be trying to get in, but I hope that with the resurgence of the Barbados Association of Journalists, that you really pursue this matter of libel, and that you really go after this Freedom of Information Act, because you yourself have brought some things to the surface that really brought up the angst in thinking Bajans. But I don't want to go on for too long, so thanks so much for the privilege that you offer me in being able to comment on the program. And welcome back, Mr. Johnson. This is truly an enjoyable day to have you back.
Thank you.